Earlier, neglected to pray for Claire. You know, we work under him and Sylvia out there at Fair Oaks, and I usually plan on doing the speaking, and occasionally he decides he wants to speak, and that's great. And today was one of those days, and he got done speaking, and Sylvia said, "Well, let's head home," and he says, "I just want to sit here." He was just totally worn out. And I was able to find a wheelchair and get him out to the car, and but just pray for him. You know, he just he's not a young man anymore. Anybody need a outline? Continuing on with what we looked at last Wednesday night, and you know what a as. Dave, Pastor asked me to take the Wednesday nights. I went to the Lord, and he led me to this Old Testament portion of Scripture, 1 Kings and chapter 3, and you could turn there if you would. And now he's taken this class, and learning. Now, is this a story? If it's a story, what kind of story is it? Who's the main character? Well, I would say the main character is Solomon, but other than that, forgive me if I goof. But 1 Kings chapter 3, and if you'll remember last week, Solomon had just become king, succeeding his father David. And at this particular time, in this context here, Solomon had gone down to Gibeon, and there was worshiping. He had offering some sacrifices and so forth. And when he was there, God came to him and made an offer, you might say, or a statement in verse number 5 of 1 Kings chapter 3. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee. Ask what I shall give thee." And of course, this is in the context of he being the king, and this would relate to the government and so forth, but we try to relate it to our lives. In 2018, the Lord would come and make that statement to you, "Ask what I shall give thee." And what would your request be? What would you desire of the Lord? And we looked last week, and we found that, first of all, Solomon desired direction. And look at verse number 9. "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart." Give thy servant, that word understanding there is a word that means hearing. Give thy servant a hearing heart. And it's that thought of hearing with understanding and a desire to do what the Lord is requesting. You know, do I have that desire to have that hearing heart and to do what the Lord would have me to do? You know, I need direction. It's been interesting. Of course, we've been down here, I don't know, 6-7 months now, and not familiar with the surroundings here. I have needed direction, and so I've went to MapQuest quite often and sought direction to different places, and I've asked some of you, and you've been very kind to patiently try to direct me in the right direction to get to the place I need to get to. But, you know, in that aspect, I need direction. But, you know, we need direction in our life spiritually. And God is the one who can give us that direction in our lives. And so he asks for direction. And then secondly, as we continue on in that ninth verse, he says, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad." And so not only did he want direction, he wanted discernment. Now, is there a difference between the two of them? Well, yes, I believe there is a difference between the two of them. Discern, to come to know, to recognize or understand, to recognize or identify as separate and distinct. Discern between right and wrong. And so Solomon's request was for discernment. Not only do I need a hearing heart, I also am in need of discernment. I need a direction, but I also need discernment in my life. I need the ability, Solomon is saying, to separate out, to investigate that I might make wise decisions. Enable me to discern between that which is right and that which is wrong. And again, we keep in mind that Solomon, in his request, was doing so as the king of Israel. Now, we have a lot of queens here, but we don't have very many kings. None of us guys are kings. All our wives are queens. We understand that. But Solomon was a king. But you and I, as Solomon, still need discernment. Enabled to discern between what is good and what is bad. To do what is right in the sight of the Lord. You know, one of the chief functions of the Oriental monarchs at that time, and the kings at that time, was to hear and to decide causes. And Solomon wanted discernment, that he might judge between right and wrong, between justice and injustice. And again, we are not in the position that Solomon was in. And yet, we need discernment to choose right. Discern between moral right and immoral wrong. But I want to, this evening, just look at a few needed areas of discernment in our lives. First of all, we need discernment concerning spiritual matters. To have an understanding of God's Word, an understanding of God's Word which a natural man does not have. In 1 Corinthians and chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse number 12 and going down through verse number 16. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That we might know, Paul said, the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. But up there in that 13th verse, he says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. You know, you and I are in need of a discernment concerning spiritual matters. And here he says that it is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, that becomes our teacher, that enables us to have a better understanding of the Word of God. You know, John wrote that, actually, he was quoting, writing Jesus' words in John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. You know, I'm so thankful tonight that the moment I was saved, I was indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we just need to yield to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells us. We cannot lose Him. But we can cause a hindrance to His working in our life. The Holy Spirit, we have all of the Holy Spirit we need. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to have all of us, that He might teach us. And John says that we have a comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. But then you drop down to John 14, verse 26, and he says, but the comforter, this one who the Lord has sent to indwell us, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Again, in chapter 16 of John, in verse 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Aren't you thankful that you have someone to help you? We're not just dependent upon ourselves, but we have the Holy Spirit to help us to have that discernment concerning spiritual things. In Matthew chapter 20, and we'll read several verses here, 29 down through verse 34. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And so that kind of sets the picture here. Jesus comes out, and as was normally true, there was a multitude, a great number of people that were around him. And normally in every multitude, every group of people, there were those who had a special need. And here were two blind men who had a special need. They could not see. And so they began to cry out to the Lord. And just cried out and said, Have mercy on us. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said. Now notice, here we have something that kind of similar to what we find back there in 1 Kings chapter 3. These two men crying out for mercy, and Jesus, compassionate as he was, always reaching out to other people, always willing to help other people, come to them and he says, What will ye that I shall do unto you? How can I help you? Did he have to ask that question? No, he knew what they needed. But for their sake, he asked them the question, What will ye that I shall do you? They say unto him, That our eyes may be opened. Now, again, this is in a physical context. These were individuals who had a physical need. They needed their physical eyes to be opened up that they might be able to see physically. But you know, you and I need to have our spiritual eyes opened. We are in need of that spiritual eyesight that we might be able to understand better the scriptures that are given to us. Here, Solomon, when the Lord came to him and says, Ask what I shall give thee. And he says, Give me discernment. How we need discernment tonight, that our spiritual eyes might be opened to discern spiritual matters in our life. Secondly, we need discernment of God's will. We need to have a discernment of what God would, His will would be for us on a day-to-day basis. You know, God's will, God has a will for every one of our lives. He has a definite plan for each one of our lives. And we just need that discernment to understand what God's will is for our life. You know, to pray even as Christ prayed there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, not my will, but thine be done. And, you know, we, if we're not careful, start doing things according to our own will instead of doing them according to God's will. To ask, as did Paul in Acts chapter 9 and verse number 6, and he, Paul, of course, he was Saul at that particular time, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me to do? Have you ever asked the Lord that? Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do today? Now, what would you have me to do tomorrow? What would you have me to do with my life at this particular time? Lord, what is your will for my life in 2018? How can I serve you? How can I minister in this particular year? You know, every one of us here are going to be making some decisions this year. Pastor, the last couple of Sundays, he's asked that question. How many of you made a decision? What? I think it was you. Maybe it was Kevin. I'm not sure. Anyhow, I heard it from somebody. And, you know, how many of you have made a decision today? How many of you have made a decision in the last 10 minutes? You know, we're constantly making decisions. Some of them are very minor. Some of them are just mundane. But some are very major. And, you know, we're going to be making some spiritual decisions in our life this year. And one of those decisions is going to be, Lord, what is your will for my life? We need discernment to understand God's will in our lives. And thirdly, we need discernment of the spirits. Discernments between truth and error. You know, there are many radio preachers. You can turn on the radio almost any time and listen to a radio preacher. There's TV preachers on all the time. There's internet preachers out there as well. And there is much printed material that, I don't know about you, but I keep getting all kinds of things on emails. I don't know where they come from. And some of them might be good. But some of them aren't so good. I get articles, magazines, occasionally. I haven't received any, but occasionally I'll get a book from somebody. I have no idea what it is, but I get a book, and it's usually somebody is off on some rabbit trail in their lives, and they're trying to promote it, and so they send this free book out. We need discernment to decipher between truth and error. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, John says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. These two men asked that their physical eyes would be opened. We need to ask that the Lord would open our spiritual eyes, and we would know the difference, discern the difference between truth and error. And then, fourthly, discernment of right and wrong. But not only just right or wrong, but better and best. You know, sometimes things are not wrong, but there's something better. And there's something even better than that, the best. And we need discernment to decide there. You know, in becoming involved with certain organizations, activities, partnerships, and so forth, should I become involved with this group? Should I become involved in this activity? There's some questions that we can ask ourselves in helping us to discern what is right and what is best and what is better. Can I do it heartily unto the Lord? In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. We could ask, would I be ashamed if Jesus come and find me so doing? In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Then thirdly, we could ask the question, will it cause me to become a stumbling block to somebody else? In Romans 14:13, Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block on occasion to fall in his brother's way. You know, there are things that we can become involved with. There's organizations we can become involved in, and they're not wrong. But someone, maybe outside of the Lord, someone who is needs to be saved, or someone who is just become a new Christian, and they're uncertain about those things. And though it would not be wrong for us to do it, just don't do it, that we not hinder them in their spiritual growth, not hinder them from coming to a saving knowledge of the Lord. God said to Solomon, Ask what I shall give thee. Solomon asked for two things. So he asked for more, but two definite things. He asked for direction, and he asked for discernment. What am I? What are you asking for as we begin 2018? I'd like to read a little reading to you. It's entitled, A New Year's Petition. It's written by somebody, J.H. Stewart. I have no idea who this person is. I don't know if it's a man or a woman. I don't know if J stands for Jack or Jackie. It's entitled, A New Year's Petition. And it's based regarding 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5. Master, I want this year to be a year of thy control, to know the lordship of thy love triumphant in my soul. and all my longings, all my cares upon that love to roll. I want to know thy fellowship more fully all the way, and in its bright reality to walk with thee each day, losing my life that in thy life God's will may be my stay. I want to prove, as Spirit taught, the power of Jesus' name, in it to pray, to speak, to work, in it each promise claim. As victors did, who through thy blood once fought and overcame. Master, O make these wants to be unto fulfillment brought, and day by day to thee, O Christ, lead captive every thought. Then shall at evensong be praise for all that God hath wrought. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, truly in our lives, spiritually, we need your direction. We need discernment from thee, Lord. And I pray, dear Father, that as we seek to honor and to glorify thee, to be to the praise of your glory, that, Lord, we would always look to thee for the directions in our life. To have that discernment, to choose between what is good and what is better and even what is best. Thank you, Lord, for each one of these dear folk who are here this evening. Pray, God, that you would bless meet needs in their lives. Lord, help us to keep our eyes upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. I think you're dismissed.